I can explain about the 20 pounds of bird seed because those bird feeders are right outside my kitchen window. It is the happening place in the forest, let me tell you. It's not just bluebirds, it's cardinals and doves and mockingbirds and then deer. And there's a gray-tailed fox who comes. You know how right by the bird feeders there's a trail that goes back into, they just use the trail. And I can see them coming. Here they come. And now there are fawns. So I don't begrudge any of them the bird seed. So it's summer. Boy, is it summer. It has become a tradition every July for me to offer a Sunday series about prosperity. So the immediate disclaimer is prosperity is not just about money, although it can be about money. It's really about how's your life working? Are you living abundantly? And I want to do something a little different this year. Take the five basic spiritual principles that are taught in Unity and apply them specifically to the idea of creating more abundance in our lives. We have talked a lot about prosperity and a lot about the five principles. So this summer we put them together like chocolate and peanut butter. We teach prosperity and unity for two reasons. Well, really three. The first is most people are interested in it. Second, Jesus talked about it a lot. He encountered people who were poor and rich. They had a lot of questions about money, everything from paying taxes to how to catch more fish. The Gospels are full of Jesus's prosperity teachings, which, by the way, are the same whether you are poor or rich. And then third, Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore talked about prosperity a lot. Unity was founded in 1889, so it had been going strong for decades when the Depression hit. Construction stopped at Unity Village outside Kansas City. They just pulled everything back and found ways to ride it out. But it was during the Depression in the 1930s that Charles Fillmore wrote his book titled Prosperity. And he said, it's all about consciousness. It's what you think and believe. His famous line is something like, if all the banks in the world should close their doors, you can still have everything you need if you believe you can. And that is the basis of Unity's prosperity teachings. It's all about consciousness. Or call it your energetic vibration, your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, conscious and unconscious. And as all of that changes, your life will change. Principles tell us how the world works and how to live. The five basic principles we emphasize in Unity do not belong to Unity. They are ancient spiritual teachings. We find them in every major religion over thousands of years. If you're new to them, I did write a book called The Five Principles. It's in the bookstore. But it's the five principles, period. And I cringe when I hear people actually insist the title of the book is The Five Principles of Unity. No, we heard these teachings from Buddha. We heard them from Jesus. Principles are principles because they're always true and they never change. Like 2 + 2 = 4. That teaching does not belong to anyone. So, a quick refresher on what the five principles are. They are universal spiritual laws. Universal means they apply to everyone. These are on the back of the generic bulletin that we give to newcomers at the door. They're also on the church website under About Us. You'll see them worded different ways. This is how I worded them today. God is all there is. As a part of God, you are divine. Your thoughts have creative power. Prayer and meditation keep you consciously connected to the source. Practice these principles in your life. The shorthand version is this. God is, I am. I think it, I pray it, I live it. You can remember that on your five fingers. God is, I am. I think it, I pray it, I live it. And when you look at the five principles, no matter what you apply them to, principles 1 and 2 are how to think about it, how to conceptualize or understand it. Principles 3, 4, and 5 are how to do it. So it's theory and action, theology and practice, the big picture and the personal picture. Today's talk is the overview, principles 1 and 2, the beliefs behind the practices as they apply to prosperity. So if you don't go home today with a lot of how-to steps, just wait. That will be the next 3 weeks. I'm combining principles 1 and 2 today because it's increasingly hard for me to separate them. They are about the nature of God and the nature of human beings, which turns out to be the same. All divine, all one. And while these teachings are ancient wisdom, they were put into these 5 bullet points in 1990 by Connie Fillmore, the great-granddaughter of Unity's founders. And you'll see them worded a lot of different ways, but here are the first two in her original language. God is absolute good, everywhere present. Human beings have a spark of divinity within them, the Christ spirit within. Their very essence is of God, and therefore they are also inherently good. So, God is all there is, and therefore you are divine. What else could you be? So, if everything is God, and you are part of God, you are a divine being in human form, then it ought to be easy to manifest whatever you want, right? Let's talk about what prosperity is and is not. It's not necessarily getting more stuff. I know some of you worry that it seems selfish to want more. It's not. It's actually an evolutionary driver. Humans are hardwired for survival by making sure they get enough. Throughout history, we've been interested in better ways to get enough. And it's only been in the last blink of an eye that some humans have realized it's possible to have too much. Well, think of food. Being able to get too much food is a new problem for our species. So it's an interesting time to be studying these principles. Probably a lot of you also don't want more stuff now. I have heard that humans go through a long period of acquisition. As they get older, they're gathering money, jobs, houses, cars, kids for about 50 years. They're focused on more, bigger, better, what's next, at least to some extent. And then they shift into a period of purging, downsizing, getting rid of stuff, living more simply. Some of you are in that downsizing phase. Others of you are still trying to build up. But there's always something we want. Prosperity principles cover every aspect of life, not just money and things. So is your health as good as you'd like? How are your relationships? What are you doing with your life? Do you have a sense of purpose and meaning? A lot of retired people I know say they're busier than they ever were when they worked, just finding meaning. Do you have all the freedom you want? What supports freedom? Time and money. Do you feel you have enough time to do what's important to you, what you want to do? Do you have enough money to give you freedom for whatever you want to do, like travel or take your children or your grandchildren on outings, buy a house, have a party? Do you have enough time and money to do what you want? Money itself is just paper. You don't really want more piles of paper. You want what you can do with money, the freedom it brings, the freedom it affords you. So all of those are forms of prosperity. Abundance might be a better word. Health, loving relationships, meaning in life, and enough time and money to feel free. So the purpose of this series is to look at how you're living, see whether there are any areas where you would like a freer, fuller, more expansive life. Not just what you want, not just what you think you can have, but what would you love? How can you open yourself to the flow of good in the universe? It starts in consciousness. It's what you think and believe. So, if everything is God and you are divine, principles 1 and 2, does that shift what you think and believe about yourself, about God, about what's possible? The first necessary shift, I think, is from believing that God has everything and might dole it out to you if you pray hard or if you affirm prosperity using present tense and positive words. Shift from believing that God has everything to knowing God as everything. If everything is God, then everything you could possibly want is a part of that divine energy and already exists. You are also part of God, this vast creation, which means everything you could want is right here for you. Seen or unseen, it's all part of that flow. The best word I've come up with for this is immersion. Remember in the book of Acts where it says, "In him we live and move and have our being"? It's like being immersed in an ocean of divine energy or creative power. Not just in it, but part of it. Like fish in water. A fish in water is not just swimming in it, but breathing water. Water is circulating, flowing in, out, and around the fish. We are in a flow of good and well-being. And everything we might want is in that flow too. It's already here, right where we are. Another necessary shift is to understand the unconditional love in which we live and move and have our being. Jesus said, "It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Good is being pressed upon us all the time. So we don't even really have to create or attract or manifest, but just receive it. Allow it, open to it. And receiving is not passive. We can work with this divine energy, mold it, and that's what the principles teach us how to do. We have talked about the three faces of God. Principle 1 is the transcendent God, all that is. It is a system, a pattern, it's order in the universe. It keeps the planets in place, it makes nature work, keeps our bodies animated, brings about birth and death and seasons. Everything we can see or imagine and beyond is what we call God, a force field of energy and creative intelligence that we can use, and that's principle 2. We are made in the image of God, the immanent God, God within. Transcendent, immanent, but no separation. We are divine at our core. Our essence is God. And no matter how many mistakes you make or how imperfect you might feel, the truth of you is your own divinity and your oneness with all that is. We do toss around the word oneness a lot. And personally, I think it's still hard to bend my mind around it. It's really easier to fall back into thinking of God as something separate, especially when it comes to prosperity. It's like, God has what I need, and how can I get him to give it to me? So God becomes Santa Claus with a bag full of gifts to be handed out, and he's got a list of who's been naughty and nice. You might still have a niggling fear that you're on the naughty list. Just because you've learned some spiritual language does not necessarily change your thinking. So if you are bemoaning, "Well, I feel unworthy, I'm undeserving, I ought to meditate more, I didn't listen to my guidance, oh, I got hit with a cosmic 2x4. It sounds kind of spiritual, but it just means you think you're on the naughty list. And if God is not Santa Claus, God also is not Superman. We are not frail, helpless human beings waiting for divine rescue. The word Savior implies a rescue. The Messiah was supposed to make everything wonderful and bring peace to earth, and the good guys would finally win. And since that didn't happen with Jesus, well, he'll be back any day now. It's a second coming, and then we'll have peace on earth. Turns out, there's no rescue coming. We have responsibility for what happens, and we are equipped with the power to bring it about. Using divine creative energy, our own and that of the universe, we're all immersed in the same pool. Everything we do or say is an expression of divine energy. So do you see the shifts in consciousness that have to be made to create the lives we want? Understand you are immersed in divine energy. Shift from thinking that God has everything to God as everything. And understand the unconditional love in which you live and the good that is already yours to receive. This is lifelong work, by the way. These are huge ideas. So this week, let's boil it down to three things you might contemplate. This week is theology. The next 3 weeks are action. We live in a universe of unlimited abundance. We can see that by looking at nature. Trees in the summer have more leaves than they need. Flowers, so many pretty things, just multiply before they burn up in the Texas sun. And we will get to divine creation and destruction later. But no fingerprints are the same, no two snowflakes are the same. There are no limits to divine creative energy. You can also see abundance in the world economy. Yes, some people are poor, but there's more money on the planet than there used to be. It was never a zero-sum game. It is not a pie that has to be divided into smaller pieces as the population grows. Wealth can be created. It has been throughout human history, and it can be today at the macro or micro level. That means you. The idea that abundance is always available to us is a huge shift in consciousness for most people. And it seems counterintuitive to say, oh, well, whatever you want is already here. But God is all there is. That's principle one. Everything is God. Even our wanting more is divine activity in us. It's the life force, because we are divine, principle two. You might know your inner divinity better than you think. You probably get intuitive nudges that prompt you to go one way or another. You have access to inner wisdom. That's the divine within. You probably have some sense of a witness, watching what you do, how you show up. That's the divine within, or call it the higher self. Remember, you are not a body that has a soul somewhere in here. You are a soul that has a body, actually built your body for use in this incarnation on earth. You have all the attributes of God in you. Some people cringe when they hear me say, you are God, because to them it sounds grandiose and egotistical. It's actually humbling to know that you can turn within for divine wisdom and insight. We're not bragging when we say we are divine. We're sharing a discovery that God is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. So contemplate unlimited abundance. It's always expanding. That everything you need is already available, and God is expressing in you and as you. I love the five principles because they challenge everything most of us learned early on. What God is, what humans are, how God and humans relate, how prayer works, and how we are expected to live as human beings. The principles teach us new ways to think about those great questions. This ancient wisdom helps shift us into the flow of all the good in the universe. So next week we'll talk about how. Let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's begin, as we always do, by taking a deep breath, holding it for just a second, then letting it out completely. feet flat on the floor, and if you have anything in your lap and you can set it aside, do so. And continue that deep breathing and bringing your focus inward. Setting aside any thought of busyness. And allowing the question to come to mind. What is the shape? What is the color of my divine spark? And if there is any doubt that's sneaking up, maybe a little voice saying, you might be a little too big for your britches if you think that. Gently look at it. Greet it. Thank it for stopping by. And simply reaffirm that the divine lives, moves, and has its being in you, as you. Affirm that one more time. God is, I am. It lives and moves and has its being in and through me, as me. Just stay with that. God is, I am. It lives, moves, and has its being in me, through me, as me. still moving in you, through you, as you. Full harmonic voice. Let's anchor that with the Alleluia.